the title this morning, I'm just going to simply call this prayer. Now, probably the most known type of prayer would be intercession. A lot of people, they know and understand some things about that. But how many knows there's all different kinds of types of prayer? There's prayers of dedication. There's prayers of consecration. There's prayers of supplication. There's prayers of intercession. There's prayers of thanksgiving. I mean, so almost any subject or whatever, you could have a prayer about it. I used to, years ago, think that prayer was just simply talking to God, but it's not. Now, you can just simply talk to God, tell Him what's on your heart or whatever. But how many knows that certain prayers have certain requirements, just like the prayer of faith has a requirement if you're going to get what you're asking for. You must ask it in faith, right? According to Scripture over in James, when you ask something or ask for wisdom or anything else, he says what? You can't be double-minded, because a double-minded man, he's unstable in all of his ways. So therefore, you can ask and ask and ask, but if you don't change from being double-minded to single-minded, you will not get what you ask for. So a lot of people, they don't pray the right way, and I'm not saying I know everything about prayer. I'm endeavoring to learn. Like I told you last week, I want to, especially as a fivefold minister and just as a Christian, I want to become more effective. I want my prayers to be like pinpoint, targeted, exactly the way God says. Because how many knows God's not holding anything back from His people? He says He will withhold not one good thing from those who walk upright before Him, right? And we are the righteousness of God, made that way in Christ Jesus. We endeavor to follow Him, amen, and to do what He says, to be obedient to Him. So it's not that God is holding back, but you got a real devil, and then you've got ignorance of people sometimes. So I'm praying that the Lord help us in this so that we learn. And even if you do know some of the things that I'm talking about, just like the Apostle Peter, he wrote in the Bible in different places, he said, I'm here to stir up your remembrance. You know, because how many knows you can know something, but if you forget it, you're not going to use it. So sometimes it ain't because we don't know something, we just need to be stirred up about it. So, gosh, I wasn't going to do that. Let me just say, well, no. Let's go to Mark 4. Sorry, Beth. Listen, some of these Beth won't have. Like this one, I had thought about it, but I wasn't going to do it. So if she doesn't have it on the screen, you should have your Bible, right? This is just supposed to be a help, a blessing. I know, like Mama, when I read the Scriptures, I might read a half a Scripture and stop and start talking. And for her to see the screen and read her Bible, she has to take her glasses off. So she puts them on, takes them off, puts them on, takes them off, because of the way I do. So if Beth doesn't have these, just read your Bible. Right? It's just supposed to be a blessing and a help. It's not mandatory. Now, we have been over and over and over this, and I don't know exactly, I may not even read this, I may just talk about it for just a minute, refresh our memory about it. But here in verse 13, Mark 4, verse 13, he says, and he said unto them, he's talking about Jesus, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? It's kind of like this is the granddaddy of all parables. Why? This is how the kingdom of God operates. He says, the sower sows the word. Jesus was the sower. He sowed the word. The Holy Ghost brings things to our remembrance, all that. We sow the word into ourselves, right? When we listen to tapes and go to church and listen to preaching and stuff like that. And we remember all the different types of ground. But how many knows that whenever you pray, we need to pray as close to the Word of God as what we can. Just like, you know, a lot of prayers, you know, that are not really answered is just because they're simply, the Bible talks about a definite request. You know, I heard Kenneth Hagin one time, he said people was down at the altar and he went up there to pray for them and he asked him, said, well, what are you praying for? And they're like, just that the Lord bless me, I don't know. And he said, well, that's what you're going to get. Y'all not saying nothing. Why? You need to have a definite request. You know, just like when I pray for people at different times, I always pray, you know, if I'm praying, God strengthen them in their spirit. Why? Because the Bible says in Proverbs, it's the strong spirit of a man, not a strong flesh, right? The Bible says the spirit is willing, but it's the weakness is in the flesh. So I always pray that according to the word, the best that I can to strengthen them in their spirit, God. Why? Because it's the strong spirit of a man that sustains him in times of infirmities and trials and different things like that, right? So that's why I pray that. Why? Because it's what the word says. You know, and different things like that. But he says here, the different types of ground, the word is coming forth. There's nothing wrong with the word of God. It's been tested, tried, and proven 100%. God even says himself, he watches over his word to perform it, right? When it's done the right way and used the right way. So when we pray, a lot of times, it's going to go through these different things that this ground here goes through. Why? Because all prayer is not instantaneously manifested in this realm. Everything we ask for that's according to the will of God, it's in that realm, right? The Bible says he's already given us all things that pertains unto life and to godliness. He says he's already met all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, right? So everything that if I have a need, the answer for that need is there. But the thing about it is, I got to learn how to get it from that realm into this realm, and you got demonic activity that's trying to stop it from coming here all the time. So the biggest test most of the time that you're going to have is time. Time is going to test the Word of God on the inside of you. Time is going. Look at, I think you got this one, Beth. Look at 18:1. Luke 18:1 right quick. King James Version. He says in this talking to Jesus, and he spake a parable unto them to this end. Now notice the Mark 4 is a parable. This is a parable. He says that men ought always to what? Pray and what? Don't faint. What's that mean? Some translations say don't lose heart. You got some people, why? Because whenever you pray and you ask God, sometimes you're going to have to let your patience work. Why? Because it's not just, God's not a microwave. Sometimes there's things he's got to work out, just like Daniel, he prayed. The angel of the Lord, I believe it was Gabriel, came to him and told him, he said, Daniel, your prayer was heard the first time that you said it. But all this demonic activity, Prince of Persia, he mentions and everything, is why he didn't get the answer, and it took 21 days. You know, I don't know how long your answer's going to take. But the Bible says, I believe it's in 1 John over there, chapter 5, I think. He says, if we ask anything according to his will, then we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know, that's faith, right? Then we know we have the petitions that we have asked of him. And some people, when they pray, because they don't see it with their natural eyes or feel it in their physical bodies or whatever, they think God didn't answer. So they'll keep praying the same prayer over and over and over. You're doing absolutely no good with that. You need to stop that if you're doing that. Why? Because he said if you prayed according to his will, now his will is found in his word, and it'll be confirmed by his spirit on the inside of you, right? So he says if we ask anything according to his will, then we know he heard us. And if we know he heard us, he says, then we know we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Then what do? You wait and you do thanksgiving. Why? Because you already got it. You don't see it with your eyes. You may not feel it with your physical body. It might not be sitting in your driveway or in your bank account, but in here, because he said it. Do you understand? Scotty says it this way, that the Word of God is all the evidence that you need to know, right? To know what? Everything that he said. And he said, if it's according to his will that we ask. Now, listen, there's a lot of people praying things that is not God's will, and that's why they're not being answered. For an example, like this, and this is going to be a big one. Say I was not a married woman, and Scotty is a married man, but he's married to another woman, and I come in here, and I'm like, oh, he looks pretty good. He's a godly man. I've been praying for a godly man. He's got a little money. I've been praying for a man with money. I don't want to work, keep up no man, no lazy man. Woo, God, he's got to be your will. Oh, God, I just claim him right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I apply the blood of Jesus to him. People absolutely do that. God is not going to give you or me somebody else's husband or wife. Why? They already married, and God says whatever he puts together, let no man put asunder, right? I am praying against the will of God. I'm being used by the devil and all of that. So I know that's not according to God's will. Why? Because it's against his word. So that's a prayer that God cannot and he will not answer. And there's other prayers that he cannot and he will not answer. You know, some people think the more people you get praying for you and different, that's a good thing. No, it's not. Not always. I have found some prayers that is an abomination to God. Y'all not saying nothing. Y'all thought God enjoyed all praying, didn't you? Well, he don't, according to Scripture. Let's look at, Proverbs 28. But he says there in Luke 18:1, all men ought always to pray and not faint. In other words, don't lose heart. Don't give up. Keep standing, right? Let that patience have its perfect work, according to James. Amen? Because sometimes God's got people he's got to deal with and get worked out and different things like that. Sometimes he's got to deal with people that say you need finances or whatever. God's not got a printing press in heaven. If you need finances, it's going to come through somebody. Y'all real quiet. If somebody needs finances, it may come through you. So we need to be real quick. We don't have to pray 15 days to give somebody $5, okay? The Bible says if you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. He'll repay it. So, I mean, you don't just always got to just have a burning angel there with a flaming sword and all that. Just be obedient. But here in Proverbs chapter 28, I think I got this in the Amplified, verse 9. Now notice what it says, he who turns away his ear from hearing the law, we would translate that today into hearing the word, right? Mark 4. He said, he who turns away his ear from hearing the law of God and man, even his prayer is an abomination, hateful and revolting to God. So there are prayers that is an abomination to God according to his word. Now look at this other one. Let's see where I got it at. This was my study notes that actually turned into my message that I didn't know it was going to. Let me go back over here. I think it may be Luke 8. Let me see right quick. 18. Yeah, I think it's Luke 18 where we was just at, but not verse 1. Oh, that's 19. That's why it ain't looking right. Excuse me. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. It says, and he spake this parable unto certain. Do I have that in Amplified, Beth, or do you know? King James, okay. He says, and he spake a parable talking about Jesus. Here's another one. This is the third one we found this morning. Unto certain which trusted in themselves. Notice that. Our trust is supposed to be where? In God at all times. It says, trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. He said, two men went into the temple to what? Pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I thought that strange. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. So you'd think he's doing pretty good, wouldn't you? A lot better than some, huh? He's fasting, he's tithing. Verse 13, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down, talking about the publican, to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. So our attitude of prayer at all times should be humility. You never go to God like he owes you something. He owes us absolutely nothing. But he, in his mercy and great love that he has for us, gave Jesus to pay the price so we don't have to do all that. And then he's turned around and given us everything. But we have to have an attitude of humility whenever we pray, seeking God. And whenever we come to God, I don't care what you're praying about. The thing about it is, it's like this is how I saw it, like this. The best way I can explain it. All right, God is in heaven, right? Sits on his throne. According to Scripture, Jesus sitting at his right hand, right? Holy Ghost has come to the earth, and we're born again. He's in us. Okay, so God wants heaven to be run just like, earth to be run just like heaven is. Go over to Matthew 6. Go on over there and see that. Right quick. Hey, Aiden. Come here. You want to tell us something? You want to tell us the prayer? Well, come on. Aiden's going to quote it to us. But we'll turn over just to make sure he gets it right. He's been working on this, I guess, a couple of months now. All right. Come right over here. Get your microphone. All right. Tell him our prayer, Matthew 6. Speak in the microphone.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Amen. Good job. Thank you. He didn't miss none, did he? Good job. Now, let's see here. Beth don't have this, I don't. Or do you, Beth? Well, I don't think you have it where I'm going to say it here. Look at verse 5 up here in the King James. He says, when thou prayest. So not if you do, when you do. We're all supposed to be prayers. Why? We're all supposed to get orders from headquarters, right? We don't run this show. We pray and seek God to see what we're supposed to do, where we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to say, right? So he says here, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrite. So you can be a hypocrite in praying, right? Oh, y'all getting quiet. He says, for they love to pray. How? Standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Let's try to get involved with that. Don't ever do it. He says, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. He says, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. He don't mean necessarily you got to get in the closet at your house. Now, if you want to, that's fine. What he means is kind of like secret. Don't go do it in front of, do it because of people. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father. Notice who we need to be praying to. Nowhere in Scripture does the Bible tell you to pray to Mary. Now, we honor Mary. We're thankful for Mary. Our Lord and Savior came through Mary. The Bible says she's blessed and highly favored of all women. But don't put her in a place she's not supposed to be. Your prayers will not be answered if you're praying to Mary, because that's not the one to pray to. He says here, pray to the Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions. Don't keep saying the same thing over and over and over again. I mean, that would be kind of like me saying, Samantha. You'd be like, what? Wouldn't you? Do you know God's not any different? I'm telling you, there's people that they do this. They're just like, oh, God. And you say, what are you doing? I'm bombarding the gates of heaven. Well, you're not supposed to bombard the gates of heaven. You're supposed to be coming against the gates of hell. We have an open heaven, right? God is our Father. Through the blood of Jesus, we have access at any and all times, right? So don't keep calling God's name. He's not deaf. I mean, it's funny, but really people do this stuff. Just, oh, God. And they'll say over and over and over the same thing. He says, don't do this. It's vain. It's empty. Our prayers are supposed to be heartfelt, right? And we know that God, when we open our mouth, we know God hears us. So he says here, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. He says, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. I mean, honestly, the book of Psalms, I just really love the way David prays. David was one more prayer, I'm telling you. All times, good times, bad times, any times of a trial and testing, David was always praying. But notice what he says here. He says, but not ye, therefore, like unto them. He says, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Ain't nothing you can get into, nothing that you have need of, no situation. When you come to God, he's going to be caught off guard. So, angels, when did this happen? I didn't know anything about this. Right? That's not going to happen. He knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. He is the Alpha and Omega, right? So nothing's going to catch him off guard. But he says he knows already what you need. So we don't have to spend no 3 days fasting and praying and telling him about it, right? But the Bible says he knows what we need before we ask him. But then another place, I think it may be Matthew 7, he goes on and he says, but ask him anyway. Why? Ask and you shall receive. Why do you think that is? God can't just come into this earth and do anything he chooses. That's kind of like this. When you lease a house, right? The owner, somebody else still owns the house. God still owns the earth. It's like under lease. And the devil took authority, right? But God is coming. The lease is going to be up one day. So it's just like this. When you lease a house, the owner does not have the right to come and take his key and open the door and sit on your coffee table watching TV eating your chips. Is that right? Why? Because he may own it, but he leased it to somebody else. So now I am the one that is in authority in that place. You are the one that is in authority in that place until your lease is up. I see it this way, kind of like this. Use prayer like this. God's in heaven or whatever. I'm here on the earth. I'm his child. I know he has a plan. He has a purpose. And it doesn't just involve me. We need to get out of our little needs. Listen, the devil will keep you wrapped up with things that bothers you to where you don't have time to pray for anybody or anything else. And we're called to have a world vision. Not just this little Blountsville vision or my little four and no more, right? We're called to have a world vision. Why? Because God will use you to do things all over this world. Just like what I'm doing right now, there's people all over the world by way of internet listening to the service this morning. But what if we just had our little blunts for our little faith way right here mentality and never let God expand that? There's no way everybody, all of them, could be in this house this morning. So what do I need to do? I need to call headquarters and get what the plan for the day. How do I do that? Prayer. All I got to do, he says, get in your closet or your secret place or whatever, not in front of men, and go to him and ask him, right? And he'll tell us. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let's finish this up. Let's see. He says, you know what you need before you ask him, but you go on and ask him anyway. Why? He says, you ask and you shall receive. Listen, you have to take the word of God as it's true. Just like what he says. Ask and you shall receive. You got to, by faith, no feelings, by faith, because the word said it, that believe that when I ask you, Father, and it's according to your will, I know you heard, I'm going to have it. And I don't have to feel it. I don't have to see it. I don't have to have somebody to come and prophesy to me, right? Why? The word of God is all the evidence that I need, but by faith, I act like it's true at all times. So he goes on there and he says, verse 9, Naden, he just quoted it to us. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, we know who we're praying to, right? It's God our Father, and we know he's in heaven, right? Why? The Bible here says he is. Hallowed be thy name. That is a form of praise, worship, and thanksgiving and adoration. There's some people, all they do is they don't never give God any praise, any thanksgiving. They just keep telling him their needs all the time. And that's not the way he said to pray. He goes on and he says, thy kingdom come. Now we know, according to Scripture, the kingdom of God, if we're born again, has already come and he's in us, right? But then also God wants to establish his kingdom in the entire earth. So he says, thy kingdom come, not my will. Right? Not your will. Thy will, talking about God, be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. That's why I got to do the phone call. That's why I got to have the prayer line. Why? I have to get his will that he's wanting to be done here in the earth. And I need prayer, communication with him to reveal to me what his plan is. Just like these services. I hope everybody prayed for this service this morning or last night or sometime or another. Why? Because the Bible talks about in, I think it's 1 Corinthians 14, how that when we come together, one will have a song, one will have a hymn, one will have a prophecy, all different things. Why? Because the body's supposed to minister to the body. And when you seek God, you get things about his plan. There may be there's times that I pray for a service, and I, just like Wednesday night, I prayed for the service and everything, and come to church, you know, and just seemed like out of the blue, Scotty got on Mark 11, and then he got right back off of it. The part about the fig tree and all that. And when we got home, I said, did you read my notes? Did you get my notebook? He said, no, I ain't read your notebook or nothing. I thought that's what I'm on. I'm on prayer. And I was just studying Wednesday morning before we come here, Wednesday night, about the fig tree and Mark 11 and all of that. So why am I saying that? I'm on this and God has him say it. Just touch it and then go back off of it to the point I'm like, did you read my notes? God read your notes. God gives them notes, right? So when you pray and you seek God about the service, you're supposed to have a general sense of how the service is supposed to go, or something that it's quickened to you, just like what it was to him. It stuck out to me. It's like, oh man, there it is. Well, for you, it might have been something else that he said in the service. Do you get what I'm telling you? See, I don't know the plan. I don't know who's supposed to do what, but God does. Just like Travis, he's praise and worship leader. He has to seek God. Why? I don't know. There's 90-something songs, I think, in the book. We could sing any of them, and that not be it. And when it's not it, everybody knows that's not it, right? But when he gets the right one, everybody knows that's the right one. Why? Because your spirit will just begin to flow with the words and the music, right? And when it's not, it's like, maybe it ain't that for y'all, but it is for me. It's like, this ain't it. You know, move right along. This is not it. So that's why, one of the reasons why we pray, because he's got a will, a purpose, and a plan for the earth here, for people and different things. So we pray and we ask him. And he goes on, he says in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. That would be your needs, right? That would be your spiritual. There's times I read my Bible and in here it's like, oh man, that was like steak, mashed potatoes, and gravy, and biscuit. Y'all ever read your Bible? Y'all ever, well, so that's really what you're doing. The Bible says that the Word of God is spirit food to you. Man shall not live by bread alone, but what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's not like that to me every time I read it, but there's times that I read it. You know why it feels that way? You have spiritual senses. And your spirit, man, it was so good to him, you physically can sense it. There's other times I read my Bible, and it's the strangest thing to me. I'll stand up, and I feel so tall. Y'all ever do that? You just feel tall? No? I'm not a weirdo, Samantha. Quit looking at me like that. Maybe y'all just ain't arrived yet. Come on up to the level. No, I'm kidding. But really, there's times I read my Bible just like it was like good food, a good meal to me. There's times I read it, and it's like when I get done and I stand up, it's like, man, I feel so tall and I feel strong. You know why that is? Because that Word of God, I took it in, and he strengthened my spirit, and he grew. Do you understand? Your spirit has to grow. He's not like the outward man. The outward man, if you just feed it just a little bit, you know, it'll grow. It won't be fat or anything like that, but it'll kind of grow and develop a little bit, just like the kids you see in Ethiopia and different places that are malnourished. They're still growing to a certain degree. Your spirit man, you can get born again, and that spirit man will absolutely stay in the state of that little baby form for your entire life if you never feed him, if you never exercise him. That's how come the very reason you can have people that's been saved 30, 40, 50 years and somebody been saved 6 months and they got more spiritual growth than somebody been saved 40 and 50 years. Absolutely. So he says, give us this day our daily bread. That would be your needs. Your spiritual needs, right? Your physical needs, your financial needs. You know, I only see that one time in here. Reckon how much time people spend praying about their needs. I only see one, and that's probably maybe the shortest verse there in that whole prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen? So we don't have to spend a lot of time on our knees, and I'm not telling you don't pray for your needs, but I'm telling you the devil will use that if you let him and get you so wrapped up. Because see, once you pray, you cast that over on the Lord, you commit that unto him, and then when that starts to cross your mind again, don't say, oh God, you know I got to have it by 11 o'clock now. You know it, God, I got to have it. You're in unbelief. You're actually nullifying what you did to begin with. What you have to do is once you pray and ask for your daily needs, like he says here, your daily bread or whatever, give it to him. Pray, know that he heard you. Know that it somehow or another, sometime or another, you have it, right? You have it now. You might not see it, but you have it. And don't bring it up again. And thank him for it. You know what? I guarantee you, if you ask God for something and I told you it was going to be here this morning, Friday, you would start jumping up and down. Why? You know you have it, right? Sunday, you're going to have it in your hand or whatever the case might be. So don't continue on with that. God's faithful. You ask him, you commit it unto him, and he'll bring it to pass. But you patiently wait now. Amen? All right, let's see. Where do we get to? Verse 12. He says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That makes me think over there of Mark 11. where he says at the end of the prayer and everything, he says, when you stand praying, what? Forgive. What's it say here? And forgive us our debts as we forgive what? Our debtors. You want to be quick to forgive people. Now, your flesh don't. My flesh don't. I don't want to forgive them. I'd be praying God. Lighting them up, lighting to God. Set the fire on, set their house afire and everything in my flesh. But now we have to overcome that. We have to cast those thoughts down, right? We don't say those things or do those things. Why? I want to be forgiven quickly. Because I mess up a lot. And I want to be forgiven quickly. So however I forgive others, that's how I'm going to be forgiven. So you don't want to hold a grudge and you don't want to drag it out, right? You don't want to make them pay for what they've done. They'll know next time not to do that. No, you'll know next time not to do that. Why? Because you're going to be the one in trouble. So we need to be forgiving people. And that does not make it okay, whatever somebody done to us. But you got to commit that to God, right, and leave that with Him. Vengeance is His. He knows how to deal with that better than I do. Verse 13, he says, and lead us not into temptation. That makes me think of, what is that, 1 Corinthians 10:13 over there, I'm thinking, or maybe 2 Corinthians 10:13. We read it two or three different times already where it talks about how that with every temptation, God has already made a way of escape, right? He says, lead us not into temptation. He says, but deliver us from evil. He says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Nathan didn't do it the way we practice it or whatever, and that's fine. He's a little nervous. But when we get to that part, I'll tell him, I'll say, for thine is the kingdom. And they'll say, thine is the kingdom. And I'll say, and the glory. And they'll say, and the glory. And then we'll say, forever. Amen. Y'all get a little more enthused about that. They're in the back seat, and by that time, they're going, amen! Y'all ought to, too. I ought to, too. Why? Rejoice, right? Why? I prayed. He's there. He heard me. He's answered. Life's good. Oh, let's see here. Where do I want to go? Excuse me. I guess we'll go to Mark 11. This one is so familiar, probably every one of us in here could quote it. Like I said this morning, it's not always what you know. Sometimes you just need stirring up your remembrance. Like Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 22, it says, don't let that word depart, right? It talks about how it's health and healing. Keep it before my eyes. There's healing scriptures I read every day. Why? I want to be reminded of what that word says every day because I need it. So therefore, I read it every day. Sometimes you just need some stirring up. And two, I mean, when you got people listening by way of internet and people in here, how many of us, we're all on different levels, but God is bringing us to the same place. Amen? So sometimes you may know something, but somebody over here, they may not know that. So you got to endure and get yourself stirred up while they're just getting it over here. Because God feeds everybody that comes hungry. So here in Mark 11, let's see, I think I want to start in verse 12. That's Matthew. That's why I don't look right. And Beth will put it on the screen if you don't have a Bible. And I got this in the King James Version. Mark 11, we're going, for time's sake, we're going to read 12 through 14. Right quick. And this is Jesus and his disciples here. It says, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, now I didn't know the fig tree said anything, Jew. He says, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard him say it. This is not prayer. You notice this? He's not praying. He didn't pray, God curse this fig tree. You see anywhere that he prayed that? No. This is not prayer. This is decreeing and declaring, just like God did in the beginning when he said, let there be light. There's times that you don't always pray. You understand what I'm telling you? Jesus didn't pray here for the fig tree to dry up. He spoke to it, and it had to obey him, right? Do you understand? He's not talking about the fig tree. You go on down and he's showing them, demonstrating them how you use your faith on purpose. Some people get hung up on the fig tree and it ain't about the fig tree. It's about the faith. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Well, a lot of it, whenever you study the fig tree and how it grows or whatever, when it has leaves, the figs are supposed to be on it. So it's got the leaves out like it's got something, but it ain't got no fruit on there. Did that help you any? Well, if the fruit's not supposed to be on it, the leaves are not supposed to be there either. Just like us, we're Christians, and people see our leaves, we shout and we Christians, but then when they come to get some fruit, there's no fruit there. So the time of the figs is not yet, but the leaves has appeared on the tree, so he's thinking when he gets over there, he's going to get something, and he didn't get anything. Did that help you better? I mean, that's anybody else have a better explanation? Well, that's what it says, him seeing the leaves, he thought he was going to go get something. But when he got there, they wasn't, so he cursed it because, in other words, it's not doing its job. Right. All right. Where'd we get to? And sometimes you'll have to, you'll read it in another place and it'll say a different thing, but it's talking about not got the same words. Let's see where we got to here. 15. Yeah. 14, he come. He told him, nobody eat fruit off of you again. 15. No, I don't think I want to go. Yeah, just 14 I want to skip for time's sake. Down to verse 20. Because then they go on to Jerusalem, do what their business, and then they go back home. Verse 20 says, and in the morning as they passed by, so they're coming back about 24 hours, maybe not quite, later the same way. It says, and in the morning they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now, they could not see it dried up from the roots the minute he said it. But how many knows, just like this, sometimes you curse a situation. Just like this, you curse cancer at the root, right? You curse it. You say, it's got some kind of life source to continue to be living. So you curse cancer or whatever the case might be at the root. You may not see a manifestation outwardly at the second, but because you cursed it at the root, if it's life source, it has to begin to dry up and dissipate. Amen? So he goes on here, it says, and they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed. We have the power of blessing and cursing in our mouth. If you, whatever you believe in your heart and you speak out your mouth shall come to pass, right? Jesus cursed it. He said, 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them. Now notice this, it's not about the fig tree. It's not about the mountain we're fixing to read. He's talking about faith. This whole entire thing was a demonstration of the faith of God working through and in a person. It says, have faith in God. Most translations says, have the faith of God or the God kind of faith. Every born-again believer, you have it. You could not have got born again without it. Why? The Bible says, I believe it's in Ephesians, we are saved by grace through faith. You heard the word, faith rose up in your heart, you believed it in your heart, and what? Romans 10:9, you spoke it out of your mouth, bam, you was born again. The Bible says a new creation, right? So he says, have the faith of God, or have faith in God, and some says have faith in God constantly. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall what? Pray. Oh no, it's time for us to pray. You sure? Don't we need to pray? That's what I was talking about. Jesus didn't pray that God cursed the fig tree. He had faith in his heart that if he spoke it out of his mouth, bam, it would happen, and he didn't have to see it. And the disciples saw what he had done, and so he's using this as a teaching tool for these people, for his disciples here. So he said, whosoever shall say, That's why, just like Monty read a few weeks ago, there's life and death in the power of the tongue. We need to be very careful what we say. We need to choose our words wisely. Why? Because we need to have faith in our heart. If it's evening, don't say good morning to me. Y'all not getting it. If it's morning, don't say good evening to me. Your spirit, you need to train your spirit to believe and say what you believe. And when you run around just say, oh, I just love my house, I love my car, I love pizza, I'm telling you. Do you really? Do you get what I'm saying? No, you don't. There's certain things and certain people that I love, and I love God, and there's other things that I don't. So I need to get real specific. Why? Because my heart is going to believe what I say out of my mouth, whether it's faith or whether it's unbelief. And we want it to be the faith of God, right? So that when we come to something like the fig tree or whatever, we curse it, we believe in our heart, and we believe, say it out of our mouth, bam, it happens. Why? This is the will of God. This is how God operates, isn't it? There's darkness over the earth, right? What did he say? Whoo, it's dark out there. What do a lot of us say? Whoo, it's dark out there and get darker. I'm telling you right now, I can't see nothing. It is thick. You believe it, you're going to get more of it. This is, do you understand? This is a principle. Faith is a law. There are laws to the faith of God. And if you don't operate them, nothing happens. And this is why a lot of people are not getting their prayers answered. So he said here, when you got the faith of God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever, so you don't got to be fivefold ministry, right? You don't got to be a preacher or a pastor or a prophet to say. You just got to have the faith of God in your heart and open your mouth. He says, say, let's see, whosoever shall say to what? This mountain. The mountain is not the point. The faith is the point. A mountain is anything that is getting in your way to keeping you from doing the will of God. I don't care if it's a person. You better hear me. Devil sends them. I don't care if it's a person. I don't care if it's you ain't got enough money. Y'all have all heard the story and everything about how we didn't have enough money, have enough gas to get to church. It took a quarter of a tank and 40 to 45 minutes where we went to church. We had a half a quarter of a tank. So our finite bright minds, we know. We ain't got enough. But Johnny, our heart is to do the will of God. And we believe that if we go to church, because it is the will of God, y'all better hear what I'm telling you. We got millions of Christians out there, you ain't doing the will of God because you're lazy, number one, some of you. And some of you, you're just letting things get in the way because your flesh is dominating you. And then wonder and want to blame God why he's not hearing you and answering what you pray. Or will back up what you say. Because one thing, you're not saying what he's saying. Well, y'all have heard the story. We did not have enough gas. We did not have any money, not a dime. It's a Wednesday night, so we got days before Scotty gets paid on Friday. But, oh, we love God, and we know it's his will to go to church, and we want to go to church. So we just take off. We come into agreement. God, somebody is going to give us some money at church or something. We don't know how, and we don't care, but we're going. This is a mountain. What's he say there? Pray about the mountain. Walk around the mountain. Talk about how big the mountain is. He said, speak to the mountain. Believe in your heart. Say it out your mouth. And what? You'll have whatsoever you say. Not what you pray. This is not prayer. What you say. What you decree and you declare from the faith of God that's in your heart. Well, lo and behold, y'all know the story. We went to church. Nobody gave us no money. And see, we wasn't sitting there, oh God, I'm telling you, I don't know how we're going to get home. We forgot about it. That's how much it was bothering us. We forgot about it till we're about halfway home, and we get over there in Cleveland Stretch, and we are out. And we still got a few miles to go. Y'all know the story. No gas. Nobody gave us no money. Run the battery down. I don't know. Run down angel juice. I don't know, Johnny, and I don't care. All I know is he's faithful. You speak to that mountain. You go against that mountain, and that mountain's what? Got to move. Has to. Don't say it might. Let's read it there. I got about 2 minutes here. He says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not what? Doubt in his heart. Why? You got to have faith in your heart. And then you open up your mouth. He says, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things. Well, how are you going to believe? You got the word on it. Right? You know the will of God, so you are 100% persuaded. When you open your mouth about this, he goes on, believe that those things which he saith, not what he prayeth, What he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Oh, glory to God. That's good. He goes on, therefore I say unto you, now he's going to switch to praying. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire. Okay, the thing about desire is, he says over there in the book of Psalms, if you'll be soft, delight yourself in the Lord, right? The word delight means soft, moldable, pliable in his hands. He will what? Give you the desires of your heart. I believe that's a twofold. God has a plan, he has a purpose, he has a will, and he will put those desires in my heart when I seek him, and I'm soft and moldable and pliable to him. And then the next thing is, he'll bring it to pass. So he says, what things soever you desire when you pray. Now it's time to pray, right? He says, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. That's like my brother. Now, God used John 15:7 with me about that one. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. God brought that one to me, and that's the one I stand on about my brother. And that has been, I don't know, has that been a year or longer yet? Something like that? When I say that, thank you, Lord, my brother's home, God sleeping in his own bed in my mama's house. That's just as real to me right now. If he was standing here today, it's the day God spoke it to me. Why? I keep it in good heart. I keep it in good ground. I don't let circumstances come and take it out like Mark 4 talked about over there. So you got to believe when you pray that you receive it. And what? You have it. Well, I can't feel it. You have it. I don't see it. You have it. Why? The word says you have it. And if the word says you have it, then you have it. And anything else that comes against that, what do? You take the word of God and you slap it down. No. That's just like my brother, you know, we started that, and then y'all know the story. Bam, paper comes up, 17 months, knocked off his, his sentence. 17, that's nearly 2 years. The devil said, see there, you got what you asked for. He's coming home. I said, no, devil. I'm not satisfied. God didn't tell me 17 months. He told me early, and I have him now. I say it almost every day, and I don't say it because I'm trying to make myself have faith. I say it because I have faith, and ain't no devil in hell, ain't no jail, ain't no jailer, no judge can take that away from me. I have it. You understand? You have it. And when you have it, there's nothing that can get it out if you don't let it. But you got to stay over there in the good ground. You better keep out them circumstances. You better keep out them situations. You better keep out them talkers. I don't talk to nobody about that. The only thing they hear me say is what I just told you. And if they got something else to say, I'm like, Johnny, that's my cue. I got to go, baby. Why? Because ain't no devil getting in here. I got to keep this word. I got to believe it. I got to keep it till I see him manifested standing here. And that is exactly the same way that you do with everything, but every prayer is not answered that way. Just like we got through reading, some things you say it, you speak to it. He didn't say keep praying about it. There's a time for praying, there's a time for saying, and you need to discern which one that you need to be doing. Because if you're praying when you need to be saying, ain't nothing changing. Because you're praying about the mountain. And he said, speak to the mountain, right? But he said, pray about the desires of your heart and believe that you receive them and you shall have them. But to you, it's done right now. But it may take a little time. So don't lose heart. Don't keep praying about it. Now what do? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Because if I ask you for a fork and you give me a fork, I don't keep saying, Samantha, hand me the fork, please. Would you please hand me the fork? Samantha, I need a fork. I mean, really, when in that context, you see how crazy some of this stuff is. What do I say? I say, could you hand me a fork, please? She hands me a fork. I said, thank you, ma'am. And then I get my fork and I start eating with it. I don't keep saying, could you hand me a fork? Could you hand me a fork? Could you hand me a fork? That believes I don't believe I got the fork. Because if I believe I got the fork, I say, thank you. If we believe we have what we asked of God, right, whatsoever we desire when we pray, we believe we receive it, then what is it? Thanksgiving. I mean, hello, conscious Aiden knows that. I gave him, they wanted yesterday some, slushies or something other, homemade slushies. So I fixed them some or whatever. And I said, Aiden's down at the table. And he said, thank you, Grandma. He didn't say, Grandma, can I have some slushy? Grandma, would you please bring me some slushy? He said, thank you, Grandma. I said, you're welcome, Aiden. You realize it's the same way with God. It's not hard. But there's laws and principles that we have to adhere to. Why? Because you understand, things are not hidden from you. They're hidden for you. Everybody can't get this. Everybody can't do this. I've got to stop because we're actually past time. Is there anything anybody would like to say or comment?